Welcome back to the Last Diet podcast. I'm Dr. Jordan Williams, along with Dr. Dale Williams from Billings Last Diet. Today, we're going to be talking about something you've definitely seen on your social media feed, trending diets. We're going to break down some of the pros and cons and the basic principles of each, from keto to carnivore, intuitive eating to intermittent fasting. You've heard of all of them. We're going to be covering some of those basics so you can make an informed decision on what's going to work best for you and your lifestyle. So let's get started. Welcome back, Dr. Williams.
Good to be here.
How have you been, sir?
Doing well.
So we're going to talk about a lot of diets today, but before we get started, can you just help us break down that word that has a negative connotation, a diet? What is a diet?
So on a scientific matter, diet is just what you're consuming. Mm-hmm. And so for food intake, so your dietary intake would be what foods are you eating and consuming. The problem is that over about 100 years, diet has been tied to restrictive calories.
Right.
And so diet is just the foods you're consuming and not necessarily a program where you're trying to lose weight.
Right. The seafood diet, I eat what I see, right?
Right.
And so a diet simply is just what we're eating, right?
Yeah.
And so you can have a regimented diet where you have the specific things you can and cannot eat. You can just have a diet specific to dietary requirements you might have if you have some intolerances or some dietary needs that you put in, you know, as far as extra proteins or whatever you're looking for general health. So diet can have a lot of different meanings. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about some of the protocols or programs that are involved with well, the goals are all different as well for a diet, right?
Yeah, and seasonal foods is where a diet. So it used to be that we didn't have fresh vegetables or fresh fruits out of season. Mm-hmm. With today's technology and with world trade, we can have watermelon all the time. But so diet was dependent a lot of on what time of the year it was. We ate more fruits and vegetables during summer and fall, mm-hmm. and we ate more canned goods, more meats during the winter months. So that was the dietary intake.
The original diet,
yes, right?
Right. So let's talk about some of the trending diets today. I have a list here, so we're going to go over them, just help kind of get basic understanding of what these diets are their core principles, and then let's talk about kind of what's good about them, what's bad about them. Let's talk about the big one that's been trending for a while now, keto diet, right? The ketogenic diet.
Yeah. So with Billings Last Diet, we started our program 15 years ago, and I introduced a word to people that they had never heard of, and that was called ketosis. Mm-hmm. And so we had to explain what ketosis was. And now, last 8 years or so, everybody's heard of keto. So a keto diet is ketosis is just when you're using fat as your primary source of energy. So the body's physiology is to utilize fat. That's what fat is, just stored energy. Mm-hmm. And when you're using that as your primary source of energy, your body will go into nutritional ketosis.
And so a keto diet is just a diet where you put yourself intentionally in ketosis.
Right.
Right.
And that ketosis can come from several different factors. Right. So a keto diet doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be burning your tissue fat
right.
as a source of fat. It's just meaning you're burning fat. So it could be dietary fat that you're utilizing.
Well, and a standard keto diet typically looks like, there's kind of percentages you based off of your
right.
proteins, your carbs,
your
and
macros.
Your fats,
mm-hmm.
your macros. And generally, a keto diet is about 70% fat intake. 70% of your macros are fat.
Yeah.
About 20% protein and 10% carbs. So it's kind of a high fat, low carb, low protein or moderate protein. So let's talk about a typical ketogenic diet. What are some of the benefits of ketogenic dieting?
So you can get away, because of the 10% carb, mm-hmm. you get away from the carbs. So you break some of your cravings for the high carb diet that is standard American diet. And so you can break away from a lot of those. And because of that, some people will lose weight during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's The drawback is some of those keto diets are so heavy in the fats that it's really hard to get a caloric restriction.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to use the ketogenic diet in order to lose weight, it can be a little difficult because of the high fat content.
Well, and along with that, in a standard ketogenic diet, you do have some gaps as well. If you're dropping way down in protein, way down in carbs, and just sticking with those fats, one, it might be difficult to get the fats in.
Yeah.
And two, you start to have lack of fiber, other nutrition. If you're not supplementing other vitamins on top of that, you're going to be restricted in that as well.
Micronutrients in particular. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting your vegetables or your fruits, you're missing some of the vitamins or minerals that aren't going to be contained in a fat.
Absolutely. Next one, let's look at a carnivore diet. Again, very popular today on social media. If you've spent 10 minutes looking at nutritional information on social media, you found the carnivore diet. So the carnivore diet, basic concept, you're eating animal products, right? Yeah. You're eating meats, some of those byproducts of animals, which are the fats, the butters and the tallows and the lards, that sort of thing. And depending on the variation, milk as well.
Yeah.
So what are some of the benefits of the carnivore diet?
So again, the carnivore diet is it's pretty easy to follow because you're you know what you can and what you can't eat, but it is restrictive. Mm-hmm. And again, micronutrients is where my concern is on the carnivore diet.
Yeah.
So when you're eating animal products, you're not getting a lot of the micronutrients, the vitamins that are contained in plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, but again, some of the pros, it's essentially a high protein ketogenic diet.
Yeah.
More restrictive than what you would typically see. So you're missing some of those vitamins, those macro or micronutrients, but you're eliminating those inflammatory foods of the sugars, the simple carbohydrates. It's a pretty low inflammatory diet. And so people do have really good health benefits
Feel good. Yeah.
And so reality is it's just difficult to maintain long term, from my understanding, and you're missing some of those micronutrients, but you're eliminating some of those simple carbohydrates, those sugars that typically lead to some of the health issues we're seeing today.
Yeah.
Let's go with the Mediterranean diet. So let's talk. You know a little bit more than me about the Mediterranean diet. Walk me through what is the Mediterranean
diet. I'm a big fan of the Mediterranean diet. Mm-hmm. I think the Mediterranean diet is important for health and well-being long-term. Mm-hmm. Mediterranean diet can be pretty easy to stick to because of the variety of foods that are in a Mediterranean diet.
So what are the focuses of the Mediterranean diet? Walk us through that a little bit.
So nuts, you get oils, you get good oils in that. It's vegetables and fruits. It's a little, the drawback is there's a pullback from some of the proteins. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard to get some of the proteins in that Mediterranean if you stick with the Mediterranean diet. But fish is part of the Mediterranean diet, and there's a source of a protein there. Here in Montana, where we're located, it's a little hard to get the good fish.
Yeah.
But that's so long term. The benefit is it can be a long term diet which you can utilize for extended period of time. So not necessarily to lose weight, but it's healthy eating.
Yeah,
and that's one of the restricted, what's one of the hard parts of the Mediterranean.
So it's one of those that you're decreasing your inflammation, you're improving kind of overall health.
Cardiovascular health in particular.
But if you're looking for a weight loss, really there's no rule about calorie intake.
No.
So absolutely gonna help healthy eating. If you're looking for weight loss, it might not be the best option to start with.
It's really good to help maintain your weight.
There you go.
Which is, which in Bellevue Class Diets Protocol, phase three, a lot of phase three is Mediterranean based.
Yeah. Well, let's do the easy one. Low carb, non-keto.
Yes.
So what does low carb look like? How do we put ourselves in a low carb diet?
So that can be done by several of them that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. If you do a carnivore diet, you're a low carb diet.
Yeah.
So it's just restricting the carbohydrate intake that you're having.
Why would that be beneficial?
So again, the anti-inflammatory, especially the simple carbohydrates like your sugars, your high processed foods, it'll lower that inflammatory response with a low-carb diet. You can also lose weight. Mm-hmm. Most people who will go on a low-carb diet are going to lose weight because their typical diet has been pretty high in carbohydrates.
And I think one of the drawbacks for the low-carb, strictly low-carb diet is a lot of people misunderstand what that means, because there are carbs that are good for you. You have,
yes,
complex carbs and simple carbs. You have a variety. I mean, a lot of your fruits and vegetables are carbohydrates. Yes. And so I think with a low carb, unless you're educated and absolutely understand what you're trying to accomplish, you could definitely miss out on some of those nutrients that you need.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. I'm a big fan of this, and I know you are as well. Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
What's intermittent fasting?
So intermittent fasting is consuming your foods during smaller periods of time.
Yeah.
And so going without food for a period of time, thus the fasting side of intermittent.
Mm-hmm.
Intermittent meaning taking breaks from eating foods. And there are the research is just really abundant, mm-hmm, on the benefits of intermittent fasting. It helps reset hormones. It overall lends toward consuming fewer calories as well. And so people that do intermittent fasting will tend to lose weight.
Well, and back to that ketosis, it puts you in a kind of a ketogenic cycle where you're, you know, depending if you're eating, you know, what's that, 8 and 16,
yep,
you're eating for 8 hours a day and fasting for 16 hours. Mm-hmm. For 16 hours, roughly, you're in ketosis and then 8 hours of eating. And so you go through these cycles, as you mentioned, those hormone changes, it kind of resets that typical high insulin, low insulin, blood sugar, high insulin, low blood sugar, those things that you would typically eat on your day-to-day, just regular day, it resets those cycles so that your body can actually be more in control. Well, you're more in control of your hormones. The drawback, I would say, is unless someone's accustomed to it, those 8 hours might lead to some binge eating.
Yes.
Right? And non-restrictive, they're just kind of eating what's around instead of more of that planning out what you want to eat during those 8 hours.
Yeah, and some people have a hard time going 4 hours without eating, let alone 16. And so it can be, you have to be pretty disciplined.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you from my experience in visiting with other dieters as well, is once they get into that, once they're used to that, it's something that can be done long term.
Well, and it's not part of our protocol for Billings' Last Diet, but I personally do intermittent fasting while I'm on protocol.
Yes,
I think it's fantastic. It's again, it's a way to put yourself in high gear for ketosis, and it's, for me, it simplifies my day because I don't have to worry about breakfast. I don't eat until about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Super simple to just drink my water, get my hydration going, and then 1 o'clock to about 8 o'clock, eat whatever I want according to the diet that I'm on at that time or according to my goals. And it simplifies the day. But like we said, if you're not used to that, that gap of eating, those cravings could skyrocket. If you haven't planned out what you're going to eat, you might just grab whatever's available and it might not be the best option.
So a point of clarification on intermittent fasting is that you're not in ketosis the whole time.
Correct, yeah.
Unlike on a ketogenic diet, you're going to be in nutritional ketosis for 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. The purpose of intermittent fasting isn't necessarily to be in ketosis, but it's to get you into ketosis every day.
Yeah.
Just not to be constant in ketosis for 24 hours a day. Like with Billings' Last Diet's protocol, mm-hmm, is we are going to be in nutritional ketosis all of the time.
Yeah, good point.
So in phase three of Billings Last Diet's protocol, intermittent fasting works very, very well, as does phase one protocol.
Right. Good. Let's talk plant-based, vegan. So it's kind of two different diets, but let's just talk about plant-based dieting. This one's pretty simple, right? You're just eating plants.
Opposite
of the carnivore, right. Exactly. Yeah. And so in the vegan, obviously, is no animal byproducts at all. But if we're talking about just a straight vegetarian or plant-based, you're focusing on eating legumes, grains and greens, right? So some of the pros for that.
So you get some really good micronutrients.
Mm-hmm.
You get a variety of the foods that are there as long as you're diversified in your plants, plant based that you're eating. So It's similar to the Mediterranean diet in that it's based off of more of the plant-based foods. So you get the same benefits. There's some good heart benefits with that.
Yeah, low inflammatory most of the time. Low inflammatory,
right.
Obviously, some of the drawbacks is just some of the gaps in nutrition. If you don't really understand, especially vegan, can be very beneficial. But if you don't have a solid understanding of what macronutrients look like, you're going to be missing especially protein. Protein is hard to get in when you're on a vegan diet because the amount of legumes and beans and things you're having to eat really can take a toll. And so it takes a lot of education to be on a healthy vegan diet, as well as being able to sustain that long term.
Particularly with the proteins, as you said, a complete proteins.
Yeah.
And so proteins are amino acids are what the building blocks of protein. And there are specific amino acid profiles that make up a complete protein. Mm-hmm. So an egg is considered to be the perfect protein because of the complete amino acid profile. But when you're eating plant-based alone, it's a little hard. That's why beans and rice go together, is because you're getting different amino acid profiles with your beans versus your rice to help get more of a complete protein. That's one of the challenges of a plant-based diet is getting a complete proteins.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just tough to really be able to sustain that long-term unless you've educated how to prep the food, how to consume the food in different ways, because you do get stretched out over long term.
Yeah.
Let's see, a couple more in here. Some of the this one I like. It's the flexible dieting. This one's been trending for a little bit on social media as well. The IIFYM, if it fits your macros. So before we talk about that, we got to talk about what macros are. So your macronutrients, these are basically the three main categories that all food fall into: your carbs, your proteins, and your fats. And anything you've eaten is either a carb, protein, or fat, or a combination of them. So really what this comes down to is knowing what balance of macros that's going to best fit you and your lifestyle and your weight loss or your health goals, and then being able to eat according to those macros. So what are some of the benefits of the if it fits your macro diet?
I'm a big fan because the benefits are you're going to be eating according to your nutritional needs and what satisfies you. Mm-hmm. The drawback is it's going to take some work to figure it out. And so that's one of the benefits, though. If you're going to eat this way, you need to become educated about carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Which at Billings Last Night, we're really big on that education portion. And so I'm a fan of this because it teaches you when you're eating, you need to be aware that you're eating a carbohydrate or a protein or a fat and make sure you get them combined in a proper way.
And I fully agree. What this does is it forces you to be intentional about what you're eating.
Yeah.
You have to be aware of what you're putting in. Some of the drawback in this is that you might not have the highest quality of food just because it's a carb doesn't mean it's the best carb for you.
Yeah.
You know, and so you really
not all carbs are created equal.
Well, right. We'll talk about that in another episode. But even the proteins, you know, you can be eating an egg for a perfect protein, or some of that more processed or deli meats, those type of things that have a lot of preservatives in it. And really, if it's a macro, it's a macro, right? And so if you're not trying to get the highest quality of foods in here, you might have some drawbacks.
So if you're eating protein, if you're eating an egg as a perfect protein, and then you hear, well, I hear collagen's good for you, which collagen is an amino acid protein. And so, but it's not complete. And so it has its purpose, but it's not complete. Yeah. So it does take the education side.
I think a lot of, and kind of that's a trend we're seeing through these different diets, is they can all have their benefits. Obviously, they wouldn't be a diet trend if it didn't have some benefit, but you have to be educated on what the purpose of that diet is. Yeah. A couple more here, and then we'll talk more specific about kind of just dieting in general. But one that, again, you hear quite a bit, and it's more of a dietary restriction than anything, but the gluten-free diet.
Yeah.
So gluten, typically gluten-free is for people who have an intolerance to celiac, right? Which is just...
or have celiac disease, which is an intolerance to gluten, right?
Thank you. Celiac disease, which is an intolerance to gluten. That's kind of how it started. But more and more lately, people are just choosing to be gluten-free. So obviously, if you have celiac disease, that's a huge benefit to be gluten-free.
Yeah, you have to be gluten-free. If you're going to thrive, you have to be gluten-free. Right. And so celiac is a disease mm-hmm. where you cannot process the gluten right. that's contained in it. But not there are people that are gluten intolerant versus celiac disease, mm-hmm. which means they don't tolerate gluten as well. And so it's kind of a sliding spectrum scale of how well they can tolerate. But it's been because of celiac disease, there's been a lot of food companies that have produced gluten-free foods, yeah. which is wonderful, but sometimes they're not the highest quality yeah. food. You can get gluten-free Oreos. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's healthy.
Right.
Just because it's gluten-free.
And in my opinion, a lot of the intolerance that you're seeing today, it comes from not eating whole foods. And we can talk about it another time, but some of the way foods are processed and produced and manufactured, I think, has a lot to do with why we're seeing so much intolerance
and
today.
And food sensitivities, yeah. Yes.
But that's another podcast we'll talk about later. This one's pretty good. This one you hear a lot about from doctor's offices, the DASH diet, mm-hmm. the dietary approaches to stop hypertension. So walk me through DASH diet. What's kind of the main principles of the DASH?
The idea is that particularly with high blood pressure, how can we eat to reduce high blood pressure? This one is pretty restricted in the salt department.
I'm laughing because I knew that was going to be the first yeah. thing. We don't get Dr. Williams started on salts, right?
But yeah, so salt's gotten a bad name yeah. Because of high blood pressure and because of a DASH type yeah. of a diet. And what we have to understand is you have to have sodium chloride, which is salt, in your diet, or you will not survive. There's a sodium pump that happens physiologically that you can't live without. Yeah. And so some people have gone overboard with too much salt. The processed foods in particular is where we get the majority of our salts. Mm. And so the food industry has put salt in to help with the flavor profile, to enhance flavors. And so the DASH diet is restricting a lot of those processed foods.
And really, when it comes down to it, the Mediterranean diet
yeah.
goes right in hand with the DASH diet. Those are kind of, I would say, very similar in that their focus is to decrease inflammation, decrease that sodium intake to help with hypertension.
Yeah. So,
let's just stick with a high-protein diet. So high-protein diet, obviously, is increased protein. And generally speaking, this is to help, again, back to the carnivore, back to the kind of ketogenic-based mm-hmm. diet, is really to decrease your caloric intake as well as be able to preserve lean body mass.
Right? Yeah, so a high-protein diet can be beneficial, can help people lose weight mm-hmm. as well, and not necessarily because of the caloric restriction, but it's because you're not eating as many carbohydrates,
right.
which is going to cause your body to go into fat storage mode relatively quickly, where with you're eating protein, it doesn't. The other benefit is when you're having a high-protein diet, you're generally not hungry mm-hmm. as much. You have a higher satiety level with proteins and with fats,
yeah.
so you're not needing to eat as often as you would if you were eating a Fruit Loop diet.
Right.
You're going to have Fruit Loops an awful lot in order to feel satisfied longer term.
Yeah, and so basically when it comes down to dieting, and there's a number more we could talk about, and some of them are just variations of the others, but when it comes down to a diet, one thing you need to know is what's your goal in dieting, right? If you're wanting to lose weight, there's a number of ways you can do that. If you're wanting to decrease inflammation, there's a number of ways you can do that. If you're wanting to just have more energy, there's a number. I mean, you have to know why you're dieting in order to be able to pick a diet. But let's talk a little bit about Billings' last diet, our protocol, and why we've seen so many people successfully, one, lose weight and maintain healthy weight after.
So I'm a bit biased, but I think it's got all the components,
yeah,
all the good components of what we've talked about thus far. It does focus on health to begin with. You're going to get your macronutrients, your carbs, proteins, and fats in a portion that's healthy for them, but you're also going to get your micronutrients. We're focused on both of those so that when you're losing weight, you're doing it in a healthy way. Yeah. It provides the education that is needed for long term. So it's a three-phase protocol, which is not just the weight loss phase. That's just the first phase of the protocol. The second phase is the stabilization phase, which I think is a culmination of the education that you gain for the long-term success. And then the third phase is to keep it off for the rest of your life, is the application of the knowledge that you've already learned about how your body works and how applying the foods that you've learned to like or that you've developed during the course of your weight loss to continue for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for me, it's really taking the best of about four or five different diet types and going systematically through the phases of when you need to be doing those type of diets, because you do not want to be in caloric deficit for the rest of your life. You can't sustain that. That's not healthy long term. You also don't want to just be eating, if it fits my macros, because you got to know when it's a bad macro for you. You got to educate yourself. And then finally, long term, you want to be able to eat those foods that you love to eat, maybe pizza or cake or ice cream.
Have to have those occasionally.
Yeah, you can't just be restricted long term because you won't sustain that. And so through the different phases of Billings Last Diet, you learn how to lose weight, how to sustain healthy weight, and then maintain long term.
So one of the criticisms we hear quite often on our protocol is, well, in phase one, you're using a protein source that isn't
meal replacement
that isn't a whole food. And the answer is, but that's for short periods of time in order to accomplish the health goal of the weight loss. And so we do that for a set period of time. So phase one has a beginning and it has an end. The weight loss has a beginning and has an end. What doesn't have an end is the eating for the rest of your life and the eating healthy for the rest of your life, which goes more to the Mediterranean style of a diet that's similar to phase three.
Good. Well, hopefully today you learned that every diet has different pros and cons. In our opinion, Billings Last Diet kind of fits all the pros and none of the cons, no. There's some drawbacks for people as well. It's restrictive as well.
In the weight loss phase.
Yeah. But really, you need to know what your goals are. And what will work for some people might not work for others. So you need to be educated and know what your goals are, be able to sustain it long-term to get healthy and to have that energy you need. So if any of this this information was helpful for you, share it with a friend, like it, or subscribe to our podcast. Comment and let us know what diets have worked for you in the past or what hasn't worked for you in the past. And let us know how we can help you if you do have any questions about what we talked today. With that, thanks for joining us today. And stay healthy, stay focused, and we'll see you next time.